Tonight, Rick is sick. And tonight we're recording Redneck Bible Study 3/20/23, and I'm teaching. It will be recorded. It will be on the website. Am I prepared for it? I live this every day. I pray for Rick because he's sick. He's went to the emergency room. He's got some chest pains. I told him he can't die. I'm busy, and he's got a schedule this week. So he gets 2 weeks off and comes back at full pay. Chapter 43 next Wednesday is going to be relinquishing responsibility and delegation. It comes, of course, after situational awareness. Tonight I want to mention to you many things, but why do I have a company that teaches the Bible in turnaround? Where did this come from? What is this? And what do I do with people that don't believe in God? How do I teach if I teach everything I teach you with the book? Why do I do such things? Those are good questions. And tonight I'm reminded of Galatians 1:11-13, the very first chapter of the 50 chapters that I teach is making money with God, partnering with God. Galatians 1:11-13 is by Paul. And he says to the Galatians, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. Oh, yeah. Well, tonight, I assure you, brothers and sisters, I want you to know that the company I have was put together and is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. I teach you what he taught me. Ah, crazy man. What do I teach people that don't have belief system? I teach them the same 50 chapters you do. But you see, up to chapter 36, it doesn't really matter. Chapter 36, there's a lot of chapters in this, right? A lot of chapters. Long story short, chapter 36 says the God is a verb. And that's where we decide God is the God in the Bible, and the devil is in the Bible. That's where the rubber hits the road. That's where we decide. It's not a God of my choosing. It's not a God I made up. I didn't go to the 7-Eleven store and pick out a God. God 7-Eleven. It's at the corner of 5th and Main. I choose the God in the Bible. When I teach you relinquishing responsibility on Wednesday, I'll be teaching you about taking a break, taking a vacation. I'll be referring to the woman at the well. I'll be referring to situational awareness. I will be saying to you things like, you got to know where you are in your head so you can tell God. It says in there, sin will keep me from God. I'm not going to let it. It also says in there that I'm going to sin. It says no matter what, there's nobody that doesn't sin. Paul, in his own writing, says, I do the things I know I shouldn't do. And I capitalize in them. I practice them. Why? Father, when will you relieve me from this flesh? So I'm not going to let it get in the way. I take my sins to him. This is what I'm working on. This is what's dogging me. This is what's bothering me. Again, why would I do this ministry? Why would I do this job? Why would I have this company? Well, I didn't choose any of it. He gave it to me. I assure you that many of you may have heard of my previous way of life and how intensely I was just not good. I was not God's ally. Might even say I was his enemy. And he still loved me like he loved you. Why would I tell you this Monday? Because I get the opportunity to do that. Your ministry right now, your company, is being fueled by the teachings of Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Do you know that you're saved now from those things that would destroy you because of the teachings of Jesus Christ? Do you know that you could not have put that together? Do you know that if someone asked you, how come you chose a company like this to turn you around? How come? Do you know that you don't have an answer because you didn't choose it? Neither did I. How cool is that? Substantially cool if you think about it. I've been giving Tammy lessons on leadership lately, how to take on more responsibility. If someone asked Tammy, why did you pick this company to use your entire life to work on? If she answered succinctly why she picked that, she would be full of baloney. Baloney and salami, cheese and mustard. Why? Because she didn't pick it. She didn't pick any of it. Neither did I. Neither did you. The scripture is helpful to me every day. Every day. I talked to Kevin today about taking a vacation. Not that he wanted one, I just thought it was important to tell him that none of you guys need a vacation. You got everything you wish right now. If you want a vacation, get a job where you don't have to run a company. That way somebody else is worried about everything, right? Somebody else is worried about it. You can come back refreshed. You don't have to worry about such matters. You just got to worry about one little thing that you're doing and the fact that you could be fired at any moment because somebody's son-in-law needs a job. Right? Right. Situational Awareness, I've taught you, Chapter 43, Relinquishing Responsibility, Delegation 2023. That's coming up. People have good reasons to walk away from what they're doing. Many of you have had partners that have done the same. But I guarantee you that none of us got a vacation. And partnering with God, there is no vacations in the Bible. Moses never got a vacation. Nobody ever got anything. Nobody wanted one. None of them asked for a break. They got beat up pretty bad. Elijah's one of my favorite stories. Elijah got beat up pretty bad. You can read about him. He got beat up pretty bad. He's a prophet that got beat up pretty bad. But he also put a whooping. He put a whooping on the priests of Baal, a false god. He proved that his God was real. He proved that God, your God, the God you serve, he proved. Well, God proved through the prophet that he was real. He did a little trick with a bull. They made a little contest, put two bulls up on the rack. And the priest of Baal said, hey, you are the true God, Baal. So rain down fire on this bull and set it on fire and show your power, prove your power. Nothing happened. Now, at the time, Elijah was kind of cocky, and he said, well, I guess your God is on a break. Maybe he's taking a little break. Maybe he's indisposed at the moment. Maybe he's blah, blah, blah. Made fun of him, right? This went on for a long time, hour after hour. Needless to say, no fire rained down on the bull. Well, Elijah had a bull sitting up there on the altar. The bull is not alive, of course. It's up for sacrifice, right? And there it is. So Elijah says, hey, put water on the bull. Put water all around the bull. Put a trough of water around the altar the bull is on. Soak everything around it. Run it with water, which they did. And he prayed to God and said, show them. Huh? Boom. The bull went up. Boom. Rained down fire. God. God is God. And then he instructed Elijah to destroy the priests of Baal. I think there was like 300 of them, man. There's a lot of them. I can't remember how many. Which he did. And he chased them down the mountain. One guy. And man, when the queen heard about this, she promised to kill him for what he had done. She promised to hunt him down and kill him. So he ran, and he was tired, and he was sort of wore out, depressed, right? And he hid in a cave. And he was, Elijah was bummed. You know, he'd done all this, and now he was hunted to be killed. Wow, rough gig. And the queen was evil. The angel of the Lord appeared. People call that angel of the Lord Jesus. This is in the Old Testament before the resurrection, the crucifixion of Christ, all of that. This is in the old days, man. He said, rest and have something to eat. He comforted Elijah. And when Elijah woke up, he was still goofy. The angel of the Lord, eat something, rest again. Rest, more rest. He was comforted by the Lord, as we are in our times of obedience. If you pay attention, obedience is a big deal. This routine that I hear, you have free will, so God knows what you're going to do anyway, so it doesn't matter what you do. Well, I don't know how exactly that works, and neither do you, and there isn't a pastor on this planet that could explain it, but I'll tell you this. You are responsible for the actions you take. So free will apparently means a big deal to God. So you can do anything you want. Does he know what you're going to do? Maybe. I'd like to surprise him and do something right. How about you, huh? Bada bing, bada boom. Matthew 10, Jesus sent his disciples out and said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. Don't take any money, no gold, silver, even copper coins. Don't even worry about a traveler's bag with a change of clothes or sandals, or even a walking stick. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality. Those who work deserve to be fed. Verse 16 continues and says, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. Listen to that, man. Shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. Verse 20 continues, for it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Yeah, apparently we have free will. But apparently this guy is pretty serious about what we do and what we are doing and that he is with us. Come on, dig it. Dig it. What about the woman at the well? Oh, gosh, I hope you know the story of the woman in the well. But in case you don't, it's in the New Testament. The woman in the well is a questionable character, possibly a little bit of a it might seem people kind of look at her like she's kind of a loose woman. Jesus actually pops her. She's kind of talking to Jesus. And in my estimation, she was kind of sweet on him. She was asking him why he was there and why a Jew would come to her part of town. Her part of town was kind of the sort of the dangerous, seedy part of town. Christ doesn't waste any time. He walked a distance off the beaten path to the well where she was to tell her the following, I will give you the waters of living waters. Living waters. He tells her, you know, you are living with a man right now and you've had four husbands. You know, at this point, you would say, wow, he popped her for the shenaniganizer she is. I don't see it that way, kids, because I've lived a brutal life. I know the difference between a lot of things that are good and a lot of things that are bad. What do I see with the woman at the well? I see a woman who did what she had to do. She didn't know what else to do. There apparently wasn't a family that married her up with somebody great. I just had this conversation with Kevin. It was such a great time. She didn't have anybody to take care of her. She tried with a man after a man, and nobody took care of her. None of them were there. So it must not have worked out. She picked the wrong guy, and now she's with another guy. And he's not there with her at the well. She's trying to be subservient. She's trying to get a man to take care of her. She's trying to do what she can because she doesn't have the information. She doesn't know what else to do. And then Jesus showed up. Long story short, as she talked to him, she instantly recognized him as the Messiah. And everything she had been looking for, she found. A little girl just like my daughter, grown up, looking for a dad that wasn't there, a husband that wasn't there, men to help her in a land that was very dangerous back in the days of Jesus, a very dangerous land, no different than today. And she spread the word of Jesus throughout the entire region. She found her purpose in Jesus, and so can you. Why do I teach such things in a turnaround company? Because I can. Because I can. And why do you stand here and listen to it? Because you can. And because just like the woman at the well, you recognize that the word and that Jesus is the way. It's everything you've been looking for. Just like me. Did I plan on this? No, of course not. Does anybody know I'm teaching them the Bible when they don't believe? No, they do not. I say the same verses that I say. I just don't say it's from the Bible. And they're like, wow, that's awesome. To those who are given much, much is required, you know, and you got a lot. Wow, that's awesome. Wow, I wish I would have made that up. Yeah, I wish I would have made it up too, right? Do I need a vacation? I do not. But God did give people breaks. And when you do an assignment on chapter 43, we'll be talking about delegation of responsibility. And I'm giving you a little leg up right now. Why? Because I want you to succeed. Which brings me to the point and my conclusion. Why don't some people succeed? I got to tell you, man, the scripture says, many are called, few are chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. I talk to a lot of people. I help a lot of people. Not very many of them make the quest. Like Moses to the top of the mountain. When he was, what, 100-something years old, he still climbed Mount Sinai in sandals, for crying out loud. It says his eyes were sharp and blue, and he was alert to the last time we talked to him, to the last time we saw him in Scripture. Same with the others. Joshua, same. His pals, everybody was sharp right up to the end. Nobody needed a vacation. Nobody wanted a vacation. It says the road is narrow. The road is narrow. It doesn't say for unbelievers. It says for everybody, believers and non-believers. The road is narrow. You know what people say to me when I say stuff like that? They're like, who do you think you are? And you know what I say? I know I feel exactly the same. I feel exactly the same because it's just as scary for me to read these things as it is for me to watch people not do it. You know, in flight school or in combat flight school, they say, you know, look at your friends, look to the left, look to the right. Who you're looking at won't be here when you get back. You'll die. You won't make it. They used to say that in World War II. Oh, my goodness, in World War I, they used to say those things. They don't say them so much anymore. You know, they act like you're going to make it. You're all going to make it. You know, well, you're not all going to make it. But in World War I and II, it was worse. And as far as an army combat on the ground, forget about it. They were dead in the first 15 minutes. This is hard stuff. You have an opportunity to do something, and not all of you are going to make it. All of you are going to get to a spot. And then in the name of God and everything holy, you're going to quit. Why? Because you can't take it. You can't take the heat. You can't take the pressure. You can't take the mental stability. I'm telling you right now, if you're a guy that needs vacations, get a job. Get a job where you don't have fiduciary duty, because this is not for sissies. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Okay, that's the direction that Christ gave his buddies. And what did anybody say? Hey, I'd sign up for it. No, they were gone. They were like, on it. I'm on it. And he said, don't worry about what you say, for it's not you who will be speaking. You want to ask me again how I got this job? It is not me who is speaking. I did not do this. I could not think of this. You can't make this stuff up. And when people quit, do I feel responsible? I hurt. But you have to know up front, when everything's groovy, you will be tested. Why do I have a job that teaches the Bible every day? How about this? I don't know, but I am so glad that he decided to sign me up. And so are you. I work with a lot of people, way different backgrounds, believers, non-believers, some kind of believer, and then there's used to be believers and maybe casual believers, maybe believers, they maybe believe. Like when all hell breaks loose and they need a favor, casual believers go to church on Christmas and Easter, right? I call them CEO Christians. Christian Easter only, right? Non-believer, I can kill, steal, and destroy as long as I can get away with it. I've got no rules. Christ died for your sins. He gave you another chance, and today you're on your second chance right now. Is it cool? Oh, man, come on. Is this cool? Anybody talk to you like this? Graduated from Yale or Harvard Business School? I'm a chief financial officer. The real? I'm real. I'm an authentic chief financial officer. Can I do the job? You all know I can do the job. Why? Because I said okay. I said okay and I stuck to it. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You know when he said that to people? After he pulled them out of their land and they were slapped all over the place and they were in jail everywhere. You know how many times he gave people a shot? He gave Israel the promised land. He gave the Jews the promised land. And what'd they do? Everything wrong. They were worse than the lands they conquered. The lands they conquered were false gods and debauchery and sensual sin, all of it. And they conquered all of them, took all the land. And then they became worse than the people they conquered. Can you imagine what that made God feel like? But finally, he gave up on them. And after 400 years, many hundreds of years of putting up with it, he slammed them and destroyed the land and scattered them. They were in Babylon. They were taken captive. I don't know when God's mercy runs out, but I don't want to find out. I tell you, don't squander your second chance. Don't. Don't squander your second chance. Why? Because it's important that you don't squander your second chance. Luke 16:10, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If you don't believe in God, partner with yourself. Make your own rules, right? I did. Left to my own devices, things change with my mood. Absolute fact is optional. Fact and fiction are the same to a mind without God. Now, I didn't do that after I knew God. I did that before I knew God. Did I always know God? Well, I always believed in Jesus. I grew up Catholic. The nuns will pound it into your backside, you know? But after I got this thing going, what was going, I'm telling you, man, I prayed the prayer one day. One day I said the prayer. I was sick, and I knew if I shut my eyes, I would die. I knew it. Was it fact or fiction? It was fact. It was so many years ago, and I remember that. And I prayed to him, if you show me what to do with everything you've given me, I have not known what to do. I did so many good things, but they didn't really pan out. But they were good. A lot of good things happened, but it just didn't have legs. It didn't grow. It didn't. I don't know what to do. If you just tell me what to do, I'll do it. But I don't want to die. I said that prayer. I'll do it. I'll do it. Put it in front of me, and I promise I'll do it. I've been sick for 4 days. This was it. I felt better that very moment. I said, okay. I felt better that very moment. And this thing that I'm doing right now, it started that day, that minute. It started. With God in times of trouble and success, all days I want to be with him. Did I make mistakes after that? Tons of them, but I always did what he said. But I made mistakes. I fell. I slipped. I fell. He got me up. I sinned. I did the wrong thing. I did the right thing. I couldn't stop this, or I tried to stop that. It was like stopping a freight train at 120 miles an hour by slamming on the brakes. It slides for 5 miles. Temptation at my door. Sin bothers me repeatedly. I'm not alone anymore. The Lord is with me and teaches me how to move. To move away from harm. Produce, deliver, and collect is a prayer every day and a gift every day. How to serve, how to be with him every day, every day. When do I turn it over to God? I turn it all over to God. But that doesn't mean he'll do it for me. He will not do the things I can do for myself, and he won't do them for you either. He does the things I cannot do. He does things for me I cannot do. Things that I could not put together. Well, how does that happen? You've been there before where you said, man, if that hadn't happened, it was just like a God shot. This guy came along on the freeway, you know, like my tire in the middle of the night. I went flat and I couldn't drive. And this guy came along. He's my next door neighbor. It was a God shot. Sure, you're right. It was a God shot. What an accident. No accident. It's God. It's a lot easier for God to work with you when Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary of doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If we do not give up. How can you say that when all these things are wrong? Well, Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I'll tell you this, kids. There's no atheists in foxholes with rockets and bullets flying overhead. There's no atheists when your child is laying on a deathbed. If you're lucky enough to know when you're going to die, there's no atheists when you know you're going to die. Not everybody gets that option. There's only so many minutes left in my life, so many minutes left in your life. What are you going to do with yours? Tonight, what was the lesson? The lesson is Rick's not here. What are you going to do with the time? And this is what I decided to do with the time. Amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. We got any questions?